All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Politically Incorrect, safe space for socially unacceptable commentary. I know it's been a long time since I've done a solo episode, which is actually not true. I know y'all hear this. Actually, I haven't heard this because I haven't been putting them out. I've been recording. I've been really neglecting the pod. I need to get back on my shit. I've just been trying to figure out some other things and do some other things. It's been a real busy time period. So hopefully this episode will be short enough for me to be able to go back over it and review. I got like 4 or 5 episodes over the past 2 weeks that I just have not put out. I got to go back over them. They're probably all fucking somewhat time sensitive, so it wouldn't even be worth putting out now. Well, actually, some of them. I will figure that out. But I've been recording. I've just been, like I said before, it's hard. It's hard for me to produce myself. I really wish I had a fucking twin or something, that somebody that could just fucking go over all this, but somebody that could go over all this as me. Like, you know the show Invincible? Shout out to Sean for putting me onto Invincible. But the show Invincible, the fucking, like, comic book shit, I think it's on Amazon. They have, if you're familiar with the show, you know what I'm talking about. If not, well, then just fast forward through this, whatever, I don't give a fuck. They have these characters on there, I believe they're called the Maulers. And they're, like, basically clones of each other, but they keep dying in different ways. So one of them lives, and the other one makes a clone of the other, and they always go back and forth about, you're the clone, you're the clone, no, you're the clone. That's how I feel about this entire situation. I need a fucking clone. I need a clone so I can, when I'm out here, like, just podding, I can just speak freely. So that I'm not having to think about, in the back end, yeah, I'm going to have to edit that, I'm going to have to take that out, I got to beep that. Like, it's a whole, it really, really censors and hampers the things that I want to say. And, I mean, that only applies to someone that's actually having to do these things. Shout out to Midwits. I think Midwits is really going to be the name of a new show, so we might have 2 shows now, finally, officially. Midwits and Politically Incorrect. I'm probably not going to make a new feed of it, since apparently Joe Rogan does the same thing, so shout out to Jeff for putting me onto that. Okay. Alright, it's been a long time. I'm not going to go back in time and talk, well, some of the things I guess I will, but not all of it. Let's go ahead and lead off with not financial advice and get this out the way. Crypto. Crypto has been booming as of the past, I don't know, 2 months. And that's pretty much all predicated on Bitcoin. Bitcoin, again, moves the market. Bitcoin, I believe, is 55% of all of the money in crypto. So if Bitcoin's going up, you can expect everything else is going up. And today, I just want to tell y'all about a couple of coins that I'm interested in. And if, you know, you're interested in crypto or want to get in or just do your own research about it, here's a couple of places where you can start. If you're somebody that's looking for a long-term hold with a great opportunity, and when I say long-term hold, I'm thinking like maybe 5 to 10 years. But right now, there's a lot of good things coming out about Solana, and Solana is trying to be somewhat of a competitor with Ethereum. Ethereum, obviously, you know, like, well, if you don't know, but Ethereum is basically like number 2. It's the Kevin Durant of cryptos. Like, Bitcoin, that's the number one. Everything, like, it's solidified. It's always will be number one. Just like Kevin Durant is solidified as always as a number 2 ass nigga. That's Ethereum for now. Ethereum has utility. So Ethereum could, in theory, one day, maybe, some people think, overtake Bitcoin. Those are people that are big on the flippening. And that's just because of the utility of it, but Bitcoin, I think Bitcoin just has too many things with it for anything to ever overtake Bitcoin. But Solana is currently, I think it's like $200, something like that right now. There's a lot of room for growth. There's a lot of room for growth, especially if they're trying to be a direct competitor to Ethereum. They're trying to be their own Ethereum. They're trying to be their own network type shit. And there's a lot of coins that are also on the Solana network. One of them we're going to talk about here in a second. This is a great opportunity. This is a great opportunity. Now, again, this is not a fucking get-rich-quick thing. This is not that. This is not that. Don't expect for, I mean, no, this is not that. This is not that. This is not that. Unless you have a disposable $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to just all YOLO into Solana, this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. And if you have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $1,000 of disposable income, you're probably doing very well off, especially since they say most Americans don't have, like, I think $500 in the savings or $1,000 or something like that. I forget what it was. And I think over 50% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So it's probably not likely that you have a disposable $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. But if you do, well, you can probably have some pretty nice multiples. But if you're just, somebody that I guess fits in those other boxes, Solana is a great opportunity if you were, not financial advice, were to get in nowish. You can see, from everything I'm seeing and hearing and things, you could see a 4X. You could see a 4X. Some people are thinking that Solana can reach a floor of 800. I've been seeing a lot more 500s, but again, that's people that are being extremely conservative. The 800 is from a conservative, but not the most conservative, but they also have been in the game for quite some time. So, I mean, there's somebody that does have a disposable $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 to do these types of things. I'm very pleased with Solana's performance as of now. And I think I've already told the story, but Coinbase allows you to stake it for damn near 6%. Now, one thing that I will tell anybody who is already in crypto or but not familiar with staking or not, you know, doesn't want to stake, or if you're just somebody that's a complete novice to it all, one thing that I will say, if you stake your cryptocurrency, that means it's basically locked for, they all have different time periods. I believe Solana is like 25 days right now. Or no, I think it's 5 days. I think it's 5 days. But it's locked. Now, the thing is, if you're trying to, you know, capitalize and, you know, get in and get out, you may not want to stake. But again, I am saying these should be long-term holds. So go ahead and stake that shit. I won't even think about taking it out until 2028, 2029. But you'll be very, if the way things continue to trend, you'll be very, very, very happy that you did, if you are able to have that impressive patience in making it to 2027, 2028, 2029. Now, again, we are in a bull market, so, and I mean, bull markets, like I said, they're kind of cyclical, so every 3 to 4 years. So if you were to get in now and just understand it's a long-term hold and just wait till the next bull cycle, which would be 2027, 2028. Hey, man. We just got to get there. But that only starts if you get in. So go ahead and get in. I'm very, 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 very pleased with Solana's performance thus far. And it only has room to grow. I mean, hell, even if it were to crash, and it's the, this is the position that you want to find yourself in if you're interested in getting to the crypto game. Even right now, it's at 200. Even if it were to crash $110 down to 90, depending on when you got in, you're still well in the green. I'm just saying. Now, right now, I think, like I said, it's about $200 per coin or whatever right now. That may be a bit much. Like I said, just said a second ago, some people don't even have $500 or $1,000 saved up for an emergency or whatever the fuck. Well, let's just say $1,000 right now for easy math. That's five coins. That's five Solana right there. $1,000. That's five for at 200. The way it's moving, though. And if that thing gets to where a lot of people who are way more informed in this space than I am or thinking it can get to 500. Again, over time, they're not saying 500 is coming in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. More than likely, like, 3-4 months. Again, this is it's only a get-rich-quick scheme if you already got bread. Or if you're just extremely fucking risky. Extremely fucking risky. But outside of that, just, you need to think of it like it's a risky bank account. Sometimes when you log in, you'll be happy. Sometimes when you log in, you'll be very, very, very upset. Which is why I would say banks still have somewhat of a utility, but I mean, honestly, probably just better off having your money parked in USDC. Right now, you're getting 5% return on that. But not financial advice. Now, also, obviously, talk about Bitcoin. Bitcoin, last week, it was in the 70s for a good bit. A lot of people probably FOMO'd in. And now their buying price or average buy prices, you know, in the 70s. And now since it's down like 65, 68, a lot of people are like, oh, man, fuck, we got in too late, or it's a scam, or it's not real, or I lost money. I mean, that's just kind of is what it is, depending on when you buy, unfortunately. But again, it will pump again. The happening is coming. It will pump again. So right now, you may be in the red. It's about having patience. You don't put money in today and be a millionaire tomorrow. I wish it was that way. Trust me, I wish it was that way. It's not. It's a growth game over time. Shout out to Warren Buffett and compound interest. He's just kind of old school about it. Compound interest also exists in the crypto world. Who would have thought? Not financial advice, but get Bitcoin. If there's 21 million Bitcoin that are ever going to be in existence, and a lot of people have been buying them since, I read somewhere, I think 90% of this Bitcoin supply is owned by like less than 10 wallets. Like massive, major money, and people that have been in it from the beginning and just been buying it all. So like the amount of Bitcoin that's going to be available to people when they are even more knowledgeable about what it is and its use case and everything like that, by that time, it's going to be damn near impossible to get Satoshis. What are Satoshis? Satoshis are the dollars of Bitcoin. Or the cents. I guess right now we can say the cents, but eventually they'll be converted over to dollars. So Satoshis are... I guess to make it make sense, those are the cents. A Bitcoin would be a dollar, and Satoshis would be the cents. And X amount of Satoshis make up, obviously, one Bitcoin. And when you buy in, you see, like, you get 0.0023, 0.01, Bitcoin. Those, you can just move the decimal, and those are Satoshis. That's how many Satoshis you have. Now... if you are able to amass I've been seeing a lot of things, 0.3, 0.21, 0.1 of a Bitcoin, you're basically ensuring yourself in the future of being one of the wealthiest people on the planet. I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's just a matter of when Bitcoin and cryptocurrency takes over the world. Like it's just a different form of bartering. That's all it is. Like we've advanced and modernized bartering. They used to just trade straight up, like, hey, I got corn, you got beef, I got textiles, you got cotton. Well, those might be the same thing, but you get my point. I get tobacco, you know what I'm saying? They used to trade, that's it. Then they decided, well, shit, how many cows is worth this land? And they don't have enough cows to fit that, yada yada, so they needed something different. They needed something with a different set of value or values. So eventually they went to coins. Gold, silver, copper, those things go into coins. And then now today we use paper dollar bills. We've already seen the way that we do transactions evolve over time, over the history of mankind. We use technology for damn near everything on a daily. Why is it crazy to believe that we'll be using... I mean, hell, you people with Apple Pay or your cards, you just fucking... you don't even put them in the slot anymore. You just tap them on... like, guys, everything's advancing. This is not some... like, it's... I wish... I mean, well, because obviously it would just make people, you know... it would make the price go up. So selfishly, I wish people understood and just got into it more. But... when it comes to Bitcoin... we're already evolving, minus crypto. Take cryptocurrency out of it. We're already evolving to the haves and the have-nots. This is only going to make that gap even wider. And like I said, Michael Saylor, BlackRock, people like, they already got hundreds of thousands of Bitcoin. Actually, probably millions. Actually, more than likely millions of Bitcoin. There's only 21 million. Right now, our dollar system is just based off of a dream. It's just based off of, it's just belief. How can you say you're not religious but use dollar bills? That's nothing but faith. It ain't worth shit. Bitcoin, can't print no more of that. And right now, it's free money right now. Right now, they're just printing it. They're just printing that shit. It's worthless. So why not use worthless money to get something that's worth something? Even if you got to wait a little bit. But, you know, whatever. I'm done with that. I'm sorry. Not financial advice. But, I mean, not financial advice, but I mean, you don't want to be somebody that's listening to this podcast. And in 2028, 2029, like, I'm a multimillionaire. And you're probably still having a great life. Still having a great life. But odds are, statistically, probably not a multimillionaire. You don't want to be like, damn, I was listening to this fucking dumbass nigga's podcast, and like, he was saying from day one, Solana, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cardano, like, just saying all this shit. You don't want to be that nigga in 4, 5, 6 years from now. Just like, damn. I mean, hell, I don't want that to be my co-host, but, everybody figures it out and gets in when they gets in, and hey, if you don't want to get in, completely understand it. If you don't believe in it and this all fucking foo-foo gazy bullshit, hopefully you're right. Hopefully 2027, 2028, 2029, I'm just ass out and you won. But on the off chance that I'm right, can you live with that? Can you live with that? Just saying. All right, last coin. This is how this happens every fucking time. This was supposed to be a short episode. I'm sorry, guys. Well, I'm not. It's just I'm sorry to myself because I gotta fucking go back over this fucking bullshit. And that's just time. And this time in the day when there's other things that you're trying to do and accomplish. But hey, you know, whatever. Sacrifices. Anyway, last coin I want to talk to y'all today is a bullshit coin. It's a meme coin. But at the end of the day, we have seen people become rich off of meme coins. So this would be the quote-unquote get-rich-quick coin shit. And I personally don't view it. I mean, the potential's there, but I personally don't view it as such based off of the way that I'm, you know, buying into it. But I do have a little bit. But Bonk. Bonk is basically Solana's Doge or Shiba. Right now, it's like fucking fractions of a penny. For $5, you can get fucking 800,000 of them bitches or whatever the fuck. I don't know. Do the math. But it's fractions of a penny. Right now, I saw the other day, I think the market cap of it is like $1.9 billion. So $1.9 billion are within that coin right now. People, we're lazy. We're lazy as human beings. We like to take the path of least resistance. So, you see Bitcoin is fucking $70,000 and you're like, well, I can't get a whole Bitcoin. I can barely get fractions. That's not enough to get rich. That's not enough to do anything. That's not da-da-da-da. But this this is fractions of a penny. I can get like 20 million of these. And if it just goes up to 1 cent, I'm a billionaire. So, I think it will be a while. A long while until it makes it to 1 cent. But the beautiful thing is, it's fractions of a penny right now. If it just drops 1 0, that's a nice little come up. If it drops another zero, that's a nice little come up. And so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. And people are going to continue to FOMO into things like that, especially when the market is booming, because of everybody has that same common thought. Oh, Bitcoin costs too much. Ethereum costs too much. But like this right here, and it only got to go up like 1%. And that's like $1,000 gain, depending on how much you put. I'm just, Bonk is something that if you want the get-rich-quick scheme, I don't recommend it. Again, none of this is financial advice, but go ahead and put $200-$300 in there. You'll get fucking 9, 10, 15, 20 million of these Bonk coins. And when Solana goes and Bitcoin goes, the whole market goes, that's going to be a coin that more than likely will go. And when I say go, I don't mean it's going to fucking take the fuck off to fucking $12 or some shit, but it can drop a zero or two. And if it drops a zero or two, and it's a lot easier for it to drop a zero or two because the market cap of it is so low. So if one day, I mean, hell, if just on a singular given day, $1 million gets put into fucking, and which is very doable, very, very, very doable, especially amongst the whole world, very, very doable. But if $1 million gets put into Bonk, but let's just say you somebody that's already been in that bitch. And let's just say your average buy price is like millions. That's why I got lucky. I mean, look, I bought Dogecoin because I was somebody that had that. Like, it's a very common thing. Not any different. I bought Dogecoin Christmas 2020. Christmas Eve 2020. I bought Dogecoin for fractions of a penny. That shit went up in January. Like, lucky as fuck, completely random, just lucky as fuck. That, y'all remember, that shit took the fuck off. And then Elon got in on it, and it just kept taking the fuck off for all the first half of 2021. I didn't sell. I am still up 800% on that, and I did not sell. I was up like 7,000-8,000% at a time. But you know, and the way it was moving, I just knew it was going to a dollar. And when it went to a dollar, then yeah, then I'll cash out. Well, it didn't. But we didn't sell. This is because if you have impressive patience, you got to understand all these things are cyclical. It's a cycle to the shit. It's a method to the madness. You didn't get it this time, but next time, it's more than likely going to go up even higher because guess what? You're not alone in the impressive patience. There's other people that have impressive patience or just the will to not lose. It's only a loss when you sell. You might be upsetting, might be frustrating to log in and just for weeks, months, years, see yourself in the red. But one day, oftentimes, you'll be back in the green. And you might be back in the green at higher levels than you ever were before because you held through the dark days. There's something about holding through the dark days. Something about it. All right. Hold on 1 second. Josh might be a part of the podcast and he doesn't even know it. He's messaging me on fucking IG and it's a voice message, so, you know, I can play it for y'all. Might need to edit this out. Don't know what type of time Josh is on. Josh, welcome to the podcast. I'm pretty sure it's about crypto. That's what we've been talking about the past couple of days. So it actually will fit in perfectly. If I'm right, let's see.
Dude, I'm torn because I don't know if I need to buy 15 or 30 Solanas. Like, now I'm starting to think. Because, so, what I've been reading, everybody's saying that Solana's here to stay. And if it get up to fucking, what, 3,000-4,000 like Ethereum is at this moment, which I think they said Solana might top out at like 5,000, which is still good, but like, it'll be better to have 30 than 15. But then again, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
See, guys, and that right there, that's a perfect example of it right there. I mean, like I said before, yes, it is a direct competitor with Ethereum, and it could one day go up there. But that, I think, if you are somebody that has that belief and that mindset, and that's what I'm about to tell Josh right now, you have to be ready to hold through the long haul. Look at the charts. The charts are there. Coinbase, Gemini, crypto, whatever fucking app or whatever you use to get cryptocurrency. The chart is there whenever you click on that bitch. The chart's right there. You can see. Okay, about 3-4 years ago it did that. Okay, about 3-4 years ago it did that. Okay, so more than likely about 3-4 years it's gonna do that. Another 3-4 years it's gonna do that. So if you hold, yeah, I don't think in this bull cycle we're gonna see $4,000 or $5,000 Solana. That'd be crazy. But maybe next bull cycle. Maybe it's about patience. It's about patience. Let's see what else Josh has to say.
Cause I was going to buy some yesterday, and I see the shit was like $200. I was like, fuck. So it's only getting like more expensive. So I don't know if I need to just suck it up and buy it now, that's probably what I'm gonna have to do anyway. But I'm still pissed about it.
I'm literally recording a pod right now talking about crypto, so you're going to be in it. I recorded those while, you know, I'm recording right now. So, like, yeah, like this voice message is also going to be on the podcast. So, yeah. But like I told you, I'm going to continue to buy with no hesitation until it hits previous all-time highs, which at this rate might be mid-April, which actually makes a lot of sense. I really do believe market is going to boom after the halving. Now maybe for a week or two. I do, again, all these things are cyclical. It booms May, like late April, early May, then it has a little bit of a valley, then it reemerges again like late July, August. That's just the way it typically goes in the bull cycle. Man, Solana. Let me see what Solana's at right now. I've been saying 200, but let me see. It might have moved even more today. Moved in the wrong direction. I hate seeing my... I love that my account has gone up, you know, pretty good past couple of weeks, but... I mean, shit, Solana... Damn, Solana hit 209 today? Shit! But it's currently 199. Again, when you average buy price, like, that's the whole point. Dollar cost averaging in and just... Man, really got lucky on this one. Really got lucky. Because again, Josh is talking about, hey, I'm trying to get 15, I'm trying to get 30, because they, you know, that's what some people have been saying and talking about, and getting 15 or 30, like, that, amazing, awesome. But it's the same coin. It just had a different value a couple of months ago or a year ago. You know what? You know what? Yeah, no, fuck it. I guess I should say this. Because nowadays, because it's not enough to say the British are coming. Like Paul Revere would not be able to get his shit off today. Paul Revere would have had to have proof. They just believed Paul Revere back in the day. You know what I mean? They like, for what? A nigga just in the middle of the night riding on a horse saying the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. How do we know he's not a boy who cried wolf ass nigga? You know what I mean? So, whatever. But I personally have been buying Solana since last February. Solely because I saw I could stake it on Coinbase and get a return on it. A return that's much higher than any bank or savings account. That's it. Now I sit here and I just continue to buy it from last February on. It was a bit cheaper last February. That's all I'm gonna say. It's a bit cheaper last February. All right, I think that's enough for crypto. That's enough for crypto. That was way longer than I planned on talking about crypto. Jesus Christ. All right, now let's go ahead and transition over to March Madness. March Madness, March Madness, March Madness. And let's just go ahead and address the elephant in the room. For some reason, everybody this year is saying that they're more excited about seeing the women's NCAA tournament than the men's NCAA tournament. And because of star power at the top of the top of the top, okay. I'm not completely mad at it because, like most people are saying, oh, well, who are the stars? I can't name a single men's college basketball player. Da, 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 da. I know, I will say, this year there doesn't appear to be anybody that's, you know, worth being talked about, which is why Bronny's getting so much attention. I still love Bronny, but, you know, I don't, you know. But that's probably the only men's basketball player that most people can name. Whereas in the women's game, we got Caitlin Clark. We got Juju Watkins. We got Cardoza. We got I think it's Camilla Cardoza. We got fucking Rory Harmon. I just know that because she goes to UT. Well, she might not even be there no more. I'm just fucking old. But, yeah, you can name women in the – you can name women's players. I think Angel Reese, Haley Van Lilith, Flo-Jay Johnson. But anyway, hell, you can even name coaches. Don Staley, Kim Mulkey, Gina Auriemma, Paige Buckers. I forgot, my queen. Which, actually, that was an episode that I may get to. Apparently, she's gay. That broke my heart, guys. That broke my heart. But anyway, I think that this is all because of marketing. For whatever reason, marketing has gone into overdrive for the women's game. I guess I shouldn't say for whatever reason. There's actually entertaining and talent there, but they've kind of just gone OD with it, which is, I think, is the reason why you can't name a single fucking men's player and we don't know who's number one or give a fuck who's number one and all that. It's just, whatever. But in the women's game, for some reason, it's more entertaining. Is it possible that's more entertaining because we're not familiar with these people and we all, just as human beings, like new things? This is a new thing. That's all. And another thing, I think men have peaked. I think that in the men's game, the talent is stagnant. I think the lowest talent, the bottom tier of the talent pool, is much closer to the highest tier, especially in the college game, than ever before. I do believe that. We see it regularly because of upsets and everything. But, I mean, I guess anybody can get hot any given night. But as a whole, men, they've been competing and training and doing all these things at a different level for quite a period of time, and they've just evolved. So obviously there's guys that are going to stand out, but I say this all the time with like the NBA game, right? Michael Jordan was a unicorn in his time period. There may have been a couple of guys that had his athleticism and, you know, whatever, yada, but And when I say a couple, I mean like a handful. Nowadays, I honestly, I hate Andrew Wiggins, but I think Andrew Wiggins has every bit of athleticism as Michael Jordan did. I know Zach LaVine does. Hell, Aaron Gordon. Is Blake Griffin still in the league? Whatever. But there's superior athletes on every single team, and these niggas ain't even stars. And don't let me take away from Michael Jordan's greatness. He was obviously he was the greatest combination of athleticism and skill and basketball ability. But it's a lot easier to get away with things when your athleticism is miles away greater than the person that's trying to guard you, or the team that's trying to guard you. Like, when you're the best player on the floor by a mile, it just looks different. And nowadays in the men's game, you can be the best player on the floor, but the gap ain't what it was. In the women's game, you can be the best player on the floor, and the entire world, nigga, aliens know this shit. An alien could just come down and be like, yeah, no, she's the best player on the floor, and the second best player on the floor is like a child compared to her. That's what it is in the women's game. There's a few that I would liken the women's game today is basically what the 80s was for men. That's just the way I think. And it makes sense. The WNBA has only been around for, what, 28, 29 years? Something like that? Actually, probably less. I think Allen's older than the WNBA. So, what, 26 years? So, it makes sense. Look at where the NBA and where the men's game was 26 years into their run. I think the NBA started in 1946, so 1962, 1972, something, 1962. Will Chamberlain wasn't even in the league yet in 1962, I don't think. No, he might have been. But you see what I'm saying? It's just there's an explosion of talent that we are seeing in the women's game. We've never seen it before. We've seen great women's players, but I guess we're more enamored with the style of play that they have now because Caitlin Clark shooting threes. Lisa Leslie, she didn't shoot threes like that. Diana Taurasi, she shot threes, but not to the same degree that Caitlin Clark. Maya Moore, she may have arguably been the greatest female basketball player of all time. It's... what we're seeing from Caitlin and Juju and Angel Reese in the women's game today, Candace Parker, is we're being told that it's so much greater and it's so much different, but I just think that it's just the marketing, and I think the marketing is there just because we all love the way Caitlin Clark plays the game, because she plays the game like Steph, and guess what? People love the way Steph plays the game, unless you're a LeBron fan, but most people, I mean, Steph's been the most popular player in the NBA for a great period of time, and there's a number of stats that could that prove that, that verify that. But getting back to my marketing point with the women's game, I could be wrong. But in my lifetime, I do not recall a single time where a NCAA March Madness basketball game that was not the Final Four or the National Championship, which would obviously be a part of the Final Four, I've never seen one of those games played on ABC. There's been stars. There's been stars in the men's game. Maybe I just have never paid attention to the women's game, but maybe they always do this. But Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes are playing their first game against I don't know who the fuck. Saturday, 2:30, ABC. I can already see the headline because of where it's being placed. The ratings are going to be higher than any men's game. Bitch, it's on ABC! It's on ABC! Look at the marketing. It's on ABC. Put Kentucky versus whoever they're playing. Put Duke versus whoever they're playing. Put fucking Gonzaga, Connecticut. USC's not in. But put any of these top men's teams on ABC at 2:30, you're going to see ratings. It may not be Caitlin Clark ratings because we've been indoctrinized and marketed to for the past year and a half that the women's game has surpassed the men's game. And I think that's just because we have an overabundance of group thinkers, NPCs, and people that identify with the left, aka Democratic Party. It's just something I don't like. I'm really not trying to attack, but it's just, it's always a common thing. Like, these people they're in a cult. They all think and believe the same thing about everything. Like, you don't disagree on anything at all, ever? Huh. Okay, it's just fun. It's just it's crazy. Like, I know things about you I know too many things about you off rip. If you're somebody that says, "Oh, I know, I'm more in the women's game is way better." Like, oh, I love the women's game. Like, oh, I don't even know or care about any of the fucking, like, the men's game or whatever. Yeah, like, there's three of these things are more than likely true. You're a Democrat. You think Trump is Hitler or a tyrant. You are, you got vaxxed. Like, you're like, too, like, you love LeBron James probably. Like, there's too many things. There's too many things that just come together for the people that, like, it's crazy. Like, just like the memes that you see on Twitter all the time, or X, whatever the fuck, or social media, whatever you get on. You see the fucking meme of just fucking the gray bot or whatever, and, like, the thought of the word bubble, and they're all saying the same shit. That's you. That's you. That's crazy. You don't think it's weird at all? Like, you don't get any fucking Truman Show shit? Like, you don't think it's weird at all that the whole world is commonly just like, oh, yes, this is true. This is facts. Even though there's, like, obvious proof that, like, no, people do not think this. People do not believe this. And, like, no, this is bullshit. This is what the media... How do people not know they're being manipulated? How are you somebody that's educated? How are you somebody that's smart? Book smart, better yet. But how are you somebody that, like, uses their own mind and is so easily manipulated by the media? It blows my mind. Okay, go ahead and enjoy y'all's women's tournament. I'll be gambling on it, so I mean, I'll enjoy it too, but Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give a fuck about the women's game until probably Sweet 16, Elite 8, but all the teams that we're all claim to be fans of or rooting for or want to watch, I'm sure they'll still be there come that time, because like I said before, the talent gap is retarded. All right, y'all, I walked away from a second, forgot where I was at, so I'm just going to move on. I would like to close with this. I want to talk about NFL free agency. NFL free agency has been fucking phenomenal. It's typically a snooze fest, but it has been, it's been fireworks. It's been electric. Now, the only thing that's been trash has been the contracts that are given out. Like the name recognition, oh, it's been crazy. Oh, this person went there, this person did that. But as far as like the money that they're going to be making in these new spots, like, it's ridiculous. It really bothers me that like Austin Reeves is making more than like first team all pros and some of the best people at their position in the NFL. Like, if nothing else says NFL is further retarded than just the contracts that they're paid. But anyway, I know I talked about the whole, well, I tried to talk about the whole Saquon thing with Jeff on the podcast, but you know how that goes. But Derrick Henry going to the Eagles, Derrick Henry going to the Ravens, I think that that's actually major for them. More so than I think that in the Saquon acquisition was for the Eagles, because I think they're more or less still going to look like the 49ers, just not as good. They'll probably be a better team running the ball, probably. They still got Christian McCaffrey over there, but they still have Jalen, and now they have Saquon, and then Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, and you know, shit like that. But Derrick Henry and that offense, and now I will say this sucks for Lamar Jackson, because obviously, like, you know, I want to see Lamar be able to play the same style that he played at Louisville, and it's not that he's not able to because of talent. He's not able to because of trust. That's really it. I mean, you want to blame all the fucking losses in the playoffs on him not performing well, but that they're losing to pretty good teams most of the time. I think the first loss to the Tennessee Titans, but even in that game, he threw for like 360-something yards, and then like a year later, like, redeemed himself on Monday Night Football against the same Tennessee Titans and went crazy in the fourth quarter. But I know it's not a playoff game. But Lamar has been proven. If you want to be racist, I mean, if you think Lamar can't play quarterback, then that's fine. But he's a two-time MVP at the shit. He's dynamic, electric. He gets the job done. It's not his fault that Patrick Mahomes, he lives in the same time period as Patrick Mahomes. It's not his fault. It's not his fault, but it is what it is. That run game is about to be even more OD now. They may not pass. They might as well just come out in that bitch in the wing tee. I know if it was up to Harbaugh, that's all they would do. But in today's game, and to better utilize Lamar Jackson's skill set, it would actually be best if you kind of spread that bitch out. But at the same time, is spreading that bitch out. What's best for Derrick Henry's skill set? Pretty much, they're telling us that they're going to be running 75% of the time. At least that's what it looks like in the offseason acquisitions. Maybe it'll be different. I hope so, but being able to play defense the way they do and being able to run the ball the way they already have without Derrick Henry, oh yeah, the Ravens are a very, very, very scary opponent. Absolutely, 1,000%. That was a great move, great pickup for them. But then again, the same caveat remains. I will say this. It's great. I have more fear in that pickup, but great running backs haven't won the Super Bowl in quite some time. Quite some time. So that is something to still be leery of. Now, the Pittsburgh, they've been very active. Pittsburgh acquired Russell Wilson for basically free. And they also acquired for Justin Fields for also basically free. So the Steelers decided, yeah, no matter what, through hell or high water, we're going to get good quarterback play this year. We're going to get good. What? They can put either one. They can put, what was it? They can put the 2022 version of Russell Wilson on the goddamn Steelers, and that's an improvement over Kenny Pickett's trash ass. I'm sorry, Kenny. Like you, and it's really not Kenny's fault. He should have never been a first round pick. He should but you know, he went to Pittsburgh and the Steelers had the pick and they needed a quarterback and it was a perfect. Okay, whatever. See how that shit played out. But Russell Wilson, not the biggest fan of him off the field. Haven't been the biggest fan of him on the field either. But I acknowledge he's aight. Justin Fields, oh, I'm a fan. I love me some Justin Fields. Pause. And now Justin Fields gets George Pickens? Oh, yeah. And now he gets Pat Freiermuth? Cole Kmet was nice, but Pat Freiermuth, he's been doing his thing. Fuck Najee. But Najee Harris, what's the other name? Jaylen Warren? Like, that offense, all of a sudden, just by swapping out Kenny Pickett's trash ass and putting in Justin Fields, that offense looks a lot better on paper. So much better. But hell, they're probably gonna do the dumb shit and like, well, Justin, you gotta earn it. We gonna go off of Russell because you know he's the vet, yada yada, bullshit, whatever. Even then, it's still a up fucking grade at the position. And I don't think that Russell Wilson's the fucking person that you want Justin Fields learning from. No, I mean he's a great everything we've seen. He's a consummate professional. But it's kind of like how they tried to do last year with Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson. I just look at it different with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. But if that's what they're going for, so be it. It really pisses me off what the media has done to Justin Fields because I think Justin Fields is phenomenal. I think Justin Fields is a better thrower of the ball than Lamar Jackson. Lamar's proven to be a better runner, but like it ain't by much. And Justin Fields has not showed his shit in college. Not at all. Not at all. So what he's doing, oh man, he's a problem. He's a problem. He's electric, and I'm very excited for the Steelers. That division's crazy. I love that division. AFC North, that is fucking crazy. The AFC North is an exciting division. Shit. Never thought I'd see today. And if them niggas were to get Justin Jefferson, oh man. Oh man. Oh man. And the reason why I believe the Steelers were able to get Justin Fields for damn near free was because the Patriots are really playing some fucking nefarious games. The Patriots are always going to Patriot, but trading Mac Jones to Jacksonville for, I think it was a 6th-round pick, that you pretty much set the market at quarterback because Justin Fields was drafted higher, but Mac Jones started for a couple years. Mac Jones, I was never big on, but I guess they thought something with him at that time. But the media's destroyed Justin Fields. So if you're going to get a 6th-rounder for Mac Jones, oh yeah, you can get a 6th-rounder for Justin. Maybe a 4th. Regardless, a fucking steal for the Steelers. Absolute steal. And I think that the Patriots did that shit on purpose to fuck up the market. Because they understood that people were trying to move quarterbacks and things like that. I think, because why would you do that? Why a 6th-round pick? I guess it makes sense for the Patriots because I guess you don't want Mac Jones to be a backup quarterback because he was drafted high and everything. You still got to pay him and all that. But I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was crazy. My Chiefs were also active. Not in the way that I wanted them to be. I wanted them to pick up a receiver. And, there's guys like Justin Jefferson and Mike Evans that are available. Hell, Calvin Ridley was available. But they decided to pick up Hollywood Brown. I'm not enthusiastic about it, but I ain't mad at it. I mean, he was a first-round talent. He's Antonio Brown's cousin. He's got speed. I don't know if he's faster than Mecole Hardman. I think they're probably about the same speed, but he's got some pedigree. Like I said, he's Antonio Brown's cousin. I think the floor for Hollywood Brown is Mecole Hardman. And the ceiling is obviously not as fast as Tyreek Hill. But that's what I've been saying about Mecole Hardman. He's not as fast as Tyreek Hill. So it's a name. It's a name to have. I'll definitely give him that. It's a name to have on the offense. But I would have much rather them, you know, try to fucking parlay that shit into drafting Xavier Worthy or swinging for the fences, trying to get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Brock Bowers. But okay, whatever. Do what y'all want to do. Lastly, move that I'm very excited about. My Texans picked up Joe Mixon. I've been a fan of Joe Mixon for a long time. Long time. Go ahead and do your Googles. You already know why. Been a fan of him for a long time. And, hey, man. I like Devin Singletary. I like, what's his name? Damian Pierce. I don't know why they're not fucking with Damian Pierce anymore, because I felt he was really doing his thing his rookie year. Then he got hurt, but they're not fucking with him, apparently, I guess. But you know how I feel about C.J. Stroud. You know what that is. And my dog Tank Dell, my twin Tank Dell. Oh, we out of here. And now we got Joe Mixon. A solid, like, honestly, who the fuck is going to be the Bengals running back? But honestly, I really don't give a fuck. Joe Mixon coming to the Texans? Oh, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned as a Chiefs fan, but I'm turned the fuck up as a Texans fan. Let's go. I can't wait for NFL season. I cannot believe this. We are on the verge of the NBA playoffs. This is crazy. The games and everything that's going on. The seedings changing by the day. But NFL has found a way to fucking take over the offseason, and I could not be more proud. I could not. So, yeah. Yeah, it's a new day. And I do find it funny that it seems that damn near all the free agency news that we've heard about thus far, except for, I mean, some of the ones I've talked about here today, but like most of the other minor ones I didn't talk about, it seems like everybody's signing with divisional opponents and divisional rivals. I'm just like, oh, these niggas petty. Okay, because in the NBA, it doesn't really feel that way, because I mean, I guess it's not that often you're seeing, because I mean, there's not really, to me, rivalries in the NBA, so like, it's not like you're seeing like somebody get traded from the Celtics to the Lakers often, and that's the only real rivalry I can think of in the NBA, and it's not really, it's kind of been dormant, but it's just a historical rivalry, but I don't know, whatever. Shout out to the pettiness in the NFL. I love it. And women's college basketball is coming up. Crypto, go ahead and get in if you want to. Or just, you know, not. And just take your chances on me being right.